Welcome to the podcast for St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ. Well, hello, friends. D.A. Bennett here at St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, welcoming you to this week's podcast, and we're so grateful that you are taking the opportunity to listen as we continue our series on untouched questions. And we've really enjoyed this series. We're actually hearing more feedback on this series than we've ever heard, so it lets us know the Lord is using this in ways to help shape and challenge us all in our discipleship. And so we always welcome your comments and your thoughts on what we're trying to accomplish through this digital discipleship. In this series, some of the things that we've talked about are, you know, God's judgment versus God's compassion. How does that work? We've talked about the question of human suffering, that if God is all good and all powerful, why do people suffer? Last week, we actually talked about the coronavirus and the current COVID-19 pandemic that we're all trying to live through. And what's God's view on that? Was this punishment from God, or is it something else? And so today we've got another question we're going to delve into. And when I say we, by now, if you listen to us a lot, you know I'm talking about my colleague, my friend, our beloved Pastor Stephanie Greenwald. She of the great shoes. Pastor Stephanie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's so good to be in studio with you today, more than 6 feet apart, as we always are.
Yeah, can't even high-five each other.
Nope, we can't do that, but I'm glad that we can be together and that we can be with all of you today. Thanks so much for listening. And this really has been a fun series that we've been in, and today we're going to tackle another untouched question that really has to deal with some different ways that denominations view a very important thing, which is salvation.
Right.
So we're going to be talking about the idea of, you know, once saved, are you always saved?
Right.
Or kind of versus this idea that you can fall away from salvation, or that you can, what some of us call, backslide. And so we're going to be looking at that today. But I think it's important for us, before we really dive into that question, to define this key word of saved or salvation. So what are your thoughts about that word?
One of the things that I'm very much aware of is a lot of United Methodists don't typically talk about being a Christian using the word that I am saved.
Mm-hmm.
We have other friends, family members, probably from other Christian traditions that would say, well, I got saved when.
Right.
And that's just not a term or phraseology we typically use. We might talk about when I gave my life to Christ, when I became a Christian. One of the ones that I typically use in confirmation, even though we read some scriptures that talk about being saved.
Yeah.
I use profession of faith.
Right.
So, you know, I don't think saved is a word that we need to hide from. It's just not one that's typically used among lifelong United Methodists.
Right.
I mean, people maybe that grew up in a tradition that use that word all the time.
Yeah. We'll still use it.
Still use that term, and we would know exactly what they meant. So what are some of your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I was just doing a little research on this, actually, for a seminary paper earlier this week.
I am always glad when we can multitask.
Right, I know. Isn't that fantastic? I know. I love it. And so I was looking at a key passage of scripture that is Romans 10, 9, and 10. When I was in seventh grade, I had the best Sunday school teachers of all time, Keith and Amy Watson. I don't know where they are today. I've never looked them up on Facebook. Uh-huh. I've never seen them probably after my eighth grade year because they moved away. But this was a young couple that really took on this group of junior high kids where I was in Kansas City. And I just adored them. But what they had us do was they had us memorize different scriptures. And it was really my first experience with scripture memorization.
Right. Which is a great habit for people.
It is, because, I mean, it really does what you put into your heart, it stays there and it grows. So you might as well put scripture there. But I remember that they had us memorize this passage of scripture, Romans 10, 9, and 10, that says, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he's been raised from the dead, then you will be saved.
Right.
And I love that scripture. But the interesting thing about the Greek word that they use for saved in that passage of scripture is the word sozo. And I'm not saying that
sozo.
Right. I'm saying it with
it's
the okie accent.
It's actually got a little D sound
there. You
in
go.
There.
Sozo. There you go. Thank you for helping me with that. So it means to be rescued from something dangerous. That's mm-hmm. that's what that meant. And so when we think about this key word of saved, it really is that God rescues us from sin and death.
Right.
I mean, that's what sin is, you know, the wages of sin
is
death.
That's what Jesus came to do.
Yeah. And so when we look at this particular passage, it says that all we have to do is confess it and believe it. Those are the two things.
Right.
The great thing is we don't have to do anything else. We don't have to go die on a cross ourselves.
Right.
We don't have to pay the price that Jesus had to pay. We don't have to do 1,000 good deeds. We just have to, really, it's interesting that the author chose to say confess and then believe, because you would think he would have put it the other way around. You should believe and then confess.
Right.
But really this idea, like you were saying, of a profession of faith, speaking it, saying
right.
it, showing it with your life is so extremely important. So when we talk about being saved, it really is more about what God has done and our choice to believe it and confess it.
Right. One of the things that comes to my mind in all this, and I think this is one of the reasons in the United Methodist Church and how we view salvation,
yes.
Is the word saved seems to have some finality
yes.
to it. You know, personal dad, brag story, shameless,
do it.
I admit, but to help people understand, when my oldest son, Garrett, was a junior in high school, of course, he played football,
mm-hmm.
and it came down to the last game of the season. They were playing Norman North, and that's kind of like their in-district rival
yeah.
because our school districts border each other.
Right.
And, it, you know, whoever won this game got to go to the state playoffs.
Yeah.
And Southmore was playing. It was a great game. Went into overtime.
Oh.
Southmore got the ball. They scored first. They were – Garrett played linebacker, so he's on defense, and they're having a great time stopping them. And it's third
yeah.
down. Norman North, they've got a pass to score. Their quarterback scrambles out of the pocket. And when I watched on film to think, what was he thinking
yeah.
when he threw the ball – there was a player wide open in the end zone.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so he throws the ball, and Garrett stepped right in front of it, intercepted the pass. Of course, we're celebrating like crazy.
Yes.
But I also listened to the games on the radio,
yeah.
and the announcer said, Garrett Bennett saves the season for the Sabercats.
Oh.
And what he meant by that was, this game is over.
Yeah.
It's determined. Southmore will go to state. Norman North season's over.
Yeah.
And so there's this finality to that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things, an image that comes to my mind when we think about, you know, how do we define this word saved? And this
yeah.
is how I've tried to describe it to teenagers and,
yeah.
You know, even children over the course of the years, is to use the movie Titanic, you know.
yes.
Which, that came out the year Garrett was born, so it tells you how old that movie is
now. I know, that's hard to
but,
believe.
But if you've seen the movie Titanic, spoiler alert, the ship sinks. but there's a scene in there when the two main characters, Jack and Rose,
yes.
They're trying to survive after they're in the ocean.
Right.
And they find this huge door.
Yes.
And Rose gets on the door.
Uh-huh.
And the question I like to say, or question I like to ask, is, was she saved when she got on the door?
Mm.
And of course,
interesting.
The answer to that is no.
No.
She was safe.
Yes, but she
wasn't saved.
That's interesting.
You know, it was only then when that lifeboat came back and she got in there, and then of course
yes.
when the other ship came to rescue those that were in the lifeboats and everything.
Yes.
So, when we think of saved, we think there's kind of a finality. And I think
yeah.
this is one of the things that plays into what we're talking about today and our understanding
yeah.
of, you know, is there such a thing as once saved, always saved?
Right.
Are we really saved, or are we playing it safe?
That's really interesting.
Are we really trying to be out of our sin
uh-huh.
and death, or
uh-huh.
are we just trying to kind of stay afloat in the midst
yes.
in the midst of all this around us? So that's an image that's helpful for
that's,
me.
That's really, really good. You know, and as we look at this, I think we really have to also explore the idea between Calvinism
mm-hmm.
and Arminianism. And so as we look at that, you know, Calvinists would believe that God has already decided who will be saved.
Right.
So as you carry that argument further, it makes sense that they would also believe that once you are saved,
you're always saved.
Yeah,
God has made that decision and you will not undo what God decides.
Exactly. And so that is something you have to just understand the full argument, that side of the argument, to understand where they're coming from. And there are some scriptures that would back that up. Scriptures from Ephesians and Romans where Paul would say, you know, God has chosen us before the creation of the world and to adopt us as his sons and daughters.
Right.
So I can see where they would think that. However, you know, there's a lot of, I think, some flaws in that argument.
I also think of the scripture in Romans 8, which is right before the creed we use, where it says, for those he foreknew, he predestined.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, it's obvious that this idea of predestination is a biblical idea.
Yes, it is.
It's not like we're saying, oh, if you believe once saved, always saved, you're unbiblical. No, it is really rooted and founded in Scripture. But there are flaws.
Yeah, there really are some flaws. And it comes when you look at Scripture in totality, which I think is what we're called to do, not just pick and choose different Scriptures that help support our own belief, but we have to look at all of Scripture to formulate our belief. So, you know, just like I said a moment ago, in Romans 9 and 10, or 10, 9 and 10, we see the reality that the sinner, or the one that needs salvation, has a role to play in this. That yes, the salvation comes from God and God alone. It's through his act alone and by grace that we are saved. But we do have the responsibility of belief and confession, which means that we do have a choice in the matter. And, you know, when we look at scriptures like 2 Peter 3:9, where it says that God doesn't want anyone to perish.
And that's so critical that anyone listening understands.
Yes.
If you buy into the idea that God chooses who is saved, God chooses everyone.
Yes.
Jesus died for the sins of everyone.
All people. Just like we see in John 3:16, for God so loved the world
He
gave
His
Son. It doesn't say that God so loved the elect or the elitist. You know, it's that he loved everyone. And so we have to come to grips with the fact that we as humans have a role to play in salvation.
Right.
And so, and that God does not pick and choose those which he gives his love and his salvation and his mercy to, that he literally wants all people to come to him. What else are your thoughts?
Well, in the opposition, if you will, or the other end of the spectrum from Calvinism, and it's view that God does the choosing, is the understanding of, you know, there's a scripture, and this is probably like King James English, it may be Revised Standard Version, but like you said, you memorize these things, they get stuck
in
your heart.
That's where they are,
That whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Will be saved.
And so there was a guy by the name of Jacob Arminius, and his descendants of theology are called Arminian or Arminianism.
Yeah.
And he said, well, those who are saved are not the elect, it's whosoever will.
Yes.
It's that, again, that there has to be a response. A frustrating story, when I was in seminary, we had a professor, I think he wrote half the Old Testament because that was his his specialty.
I think I might have that professor.
and he used to talk about, you'd have Calvinism on one side and Arminianism on the other side, and he said the truth is somewhere in the middle, but he never would tell us where the middle was. We never could find that,
right.
And so we still had to choose.
That's funny.
And both John Calvin and Jacob Arminius, they both were using Scripture to bring about their ideas. And what we're talking about, again, is this idea of how do we as people receive this gift of salvation.
Yes.
And so, again, differing theologies, both based in Scripture.
Right.
You know, what are we then to believe? And one of the things that we know is that's one of the reasons we have different Christian traditions or different denominations is because we understand and interpret Scripture differently and we have different ideas about, you know, this is what God's love is like. I mean, when we talk about Jesus dying for the sins of the whole world, mm-hmm. you know, I fall into the place that says, and because Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, he offers the world grace as a gift, and whosoever chooses to receive that gift then receives the gift of salvation, as opposed to another idea, which I don't believe, that is... because Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, it really doesn't matter what you believe because he died for everybody's sins, therefore everybody's going to heaven.
No.
That stands in contrast to the scripture you read in Romans 10, 9, and 10.
Exactly.
You know, you've got to confess with your mouth. Mm-hmm. You've got to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and that is what helps us to receive salvation.
Yeah, so good. So as we're looking at... you know, Calvinism, Arminianism. Tell us a little bit about John Wesley and where he is in all of this.
Well, as United Methodists, we do believe that John Wesley was a theological stud. There's just no doubt about it.
Yes.
Wesley, you know, if you know much about his life, you know that socially, his love life was not all that great.
Uh-uh.
He was not a ladies' man.
No.
I think he was actually a short man, which for some reason, when we think of theological giants, we imagine them bigger than life.
That's true.
And Wesley's physical stature was not, but his spiritual stature absolutely was. And one of the things that we use to help us determine our doctrine and our Christian tradition is not just scripture, but the traditions of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And a key part of that tradition are the standard, what we call the standard sermons that Wesley wrote.
Yeah.
And so he actually writes, and of course, again, this is back in the 1700s. This is in the 18th century. He writes a sermon that is called A Call to Backsliders. And so this is what we get on the other side of the question. Well, if it's not once saved, always saved, how do we understand salvation? And for Wesley, he said, you know, you can see people. In fact, he said, I have seen people who were filled with the Holy Spirit, that had the joy of salvation, that in every way was living and overcoming life of discipleship.
Yeah.
But then later, either due to circumstances that happened in their life or due to inattention to the means of grace and those things that really help us to continue to stay connected to God, that people do backslide. And the way that I understand that is either through an intentional act or sometimes even through a non-intentional act, we can receive this gift of salvation and then forfeit it. That we either decide, you know what, I don't want that anymore. And I suspect there are those among our listeners that have maybe not able to name specifics, but have heard stories of someone that was just this on-fire Christian, and, you know, maybe they used to be a preacher even, and now they're like, I don't even know that I believe in God anymore.
So
when we talk about backsliding, we think of a theological journey where we begin to go backwards in our relationship with Christ to the... The point where we don't believe anymore. So do you have some thoughts you want to jump in?
Yeah, I mean, I think those are great thoughts of what you're sharing. I feel, too, that it's important for us to recognize in this whole argument or question searching that God is a respecter of our free will, that he has given that to us as a gift. Because when you really come down to the heart of the matter, if you're going to create a creation... that you want to pour your love into, and that love, you know, the idea of love is that you pour it out and it can be reciprocal. That if the creation doesn't have free will, then love is not love.
And I think that was actually one of our earlier podcasts in this series was about free will.
Yeah, exactly. And so the idea that God gives that to us in order for us to be able to choose to accept his love, to love him, to accept his salvation, you know, all of that is really important for us to remember. And that is what is so... like there's an urgency in my soul as we're talking about this because you can fall away because God respects your free will. So he's not going to force you once you've entered into this relationship. He's not going to force you to stay there, you know, because you still have free will. It's almost like when I think about how much I love my husband, I still choose every day to love him. Even though I committed to love him when I stood at the altar 20 years ago and I said, I do. I said, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. But still every day I have to get up and commit to loving him. And if for some reason, you know, Phil had entered into the marriage with no choice, that wouldn't, I wouldn't be experiencing love from him.
Right.
So that is a beautiful example of our relationship with God, that he respects our free will. That's how much he loves us. But we have to continue every day to make that commitment to him and to grow in relationship with him. What else are you thinking?
Well, you know, I'm sitting here. I think marriage is such a great example of this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, 20 years ago, you and Phil got married, so we're going to use you as an example.
Okay, that's good. I like
you
it.
You already offered that up.
I did.
Can't unring the bell.
Yeah.
You know, if y'all had said I do, and then, you know, you go on your honeymoon, and then feel like, okay, I've got to go do something else.
Yeah.
I'm going to see. And essentially what he does is walk away from the relationship.
Yeah.
But people come up to him and say, are you married? Well, yeah, I'm married. I've you know, been married for 20 years.
Right.
Well, how come we don't know anything about your wife?
Yeah.
What do you want to know? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I can tell you a little bit about her. I hadn't seen her in quite a while because, you know, I kind of walked away. And, you know, a marriage like that is, it's not going to last.
No, it's not. Yeah.
And the idea that, again, like marriage, anybody that is married, really, you don't have to be married. Anybody in a long-term relationship knows relationships have peaks and valleys, ups and downs. And sometimes when you're married, you're still in love, but you don't like the person very much. And so maybe you have to find a way to work through that. And I think that happens spiritually with us, that sometimes our hearts do grow cold toward God. And but God's heart toward us never grows cold.
Uh-uh.
And so when we talk about once saved, always saved, one of the things I think is if we have that sense of finality, if I have the sense of, well, yeah, I'm married, and then we walk away.
Right.
If I have that sense, well, yeah, I'm saved, but then I'll walk away from church, and I'll walk away from Christian community.
Yeah.
And even in my daily life, I don't really practice, you know, devotional times.
Yeah.
That really weakens our discipleship, and that is not God's goal.
Mm-mm.
God's goal is that we grow to Christian maturity.
Yeah.
And so in our tradition, the things Wesley helped us understand is really to understand salvation is a process.
Right.
The terminology that we use in confirmation, I think we actually did a series on this last year, was at that moment that we profess faith in Christ, that moment at which we were saved, the theological term is we are justified.
Right.
We experience God's justifying grace, but that's not where it's supposed to stop.
Right.
It's supposed to grow then into a sanctifying grace, that we continue to experience God's grace so that we overcome the sin and the death and those things which try to disconnect us from God. Salvation is a process.
Yeah.
If we were to emphasize a scripture, and we could never just emphasize one, but the one that's helpful to me, again, is when Jesus says, if you would be my disciple, you must take up your cross daily.
Right.
And in the same way, you get up every morning and you choose to love Phil and be his wife and continue to honor those vows.
Right.
He does the same in relationship to you. You know, Robin and I do that in our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Every day I get up, I have to have that time that I spend with the Lord.
Yes.
I know his heart longs for me. My heart longs for him
Definitely.
Too. And so we don't really believe the once saved, always saved, because we believe that hearts grow cold and vows that people made. I mean, not even theoretically.
Yeah.
How old were you when you gave your life to Christ?
I was four.
Four, okay. Mm-hmm. I think I was seven.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. How many other things in your life when you were four that you said, this is what's going to happen, do you really continue to cling to?
No, none.
Yeah. You know, if you'd asked me at seven what I was going to do with my life, I think I was going to be a veterinarian because I love my dog.
We're glad you didn't do that.
Yeah. sorry, I'm just having flashbacks to that whole thing my mom asked me when I was called to ministry.
Oh.
But the thing was, there are very few decisions in our life that we make at a young age, or even if, you know, we see teenagers today, they go to church camp, they get fired up for God, they make a decision to follow Christ.
Yeah.
But then maybe something happens in their life, and as a college student or a young adult, their heart grows cold.
Yeah, exactly.
And they no longer bind themselves to that commitment that they have made. And so that's why we have a different opinion. If by an act of my will, I can choose faith in Christ, then it certainly makes sense that by an act of my will, I can reject
yes.
that which I have believed. Although right. I don't know why anybody would,
right.
but I do know that that happens. And yeah. again, I guess one reason it does is because people experience hardship and hurt and
yes.
they hold God reliable or
responsible.
You know, accountable for that. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and you know, friends, as we're talking about this today, I really do firmly believe, and DA and I have been talking about this. We've been talking about it for a while now, but you know, there have been several awakenings in our world where God chooses to put in people's hearts a desire to come back to Him. And when we're talking about this idea of what DA was saying of sanctification, that we continue to grow in relationship with Christ and become the person that He's created us to be, I really believe that He's calling us to another awakening.
Yes.
That He's telling us that for those of us who have committed our lives to Him but grown cold, mm-hmm. it's time to wake back up. It's time to feel the fire again. It's time to feel it even in a new way, not even as we did before, but possibly in a completely new and different way. And so, you know, if you are a part of that, if you are a part of feeling that stirring in your spirit, then I want you to know that we are praying for you. We're mm-hmm. praying for what God is doing in His church and with His people and what that's going to look like in the world. And what a beautiful time when we are in the midst of a pandemic for God to say, I'm going to start stirring the hearts of my people again. And so don't shy away from that. I would just right. offer you a word of encouragement to continue to follow the longing in your heart, like DA was talking about, and spend the time you need to spend with Him, because He really will fan into flame your faith in a way like never before. And the world desperately needs Christians who have been fanned into flame by our Savior. So I would just encourage you, continue to allow God to soften your heart and to help you in that way.
Yeah, and I would, you know, the thought comes to mind, and again, I think this is one of the stories. I know I shared it in a sermon series over a year ago, and maybe we did it in one of the podcasts. Mm-hmm. If you are feeling that, you know, I need to fan this into flame
yeah.
again, wood burns longer, hotter, and brighter if it's with other wood than
yes.
it does if it's by itself. And,
right.
and so that's why we always want to encourage people be involved in Christian community.
Yeah.
And it's always our hope that people can find Christian community mm-hmm. here at St. Andrew's Community United Methodist mm-hmm. Church. In light of this, you may be someone that thought, wow, maybe I don't fit at St. Andrew's because I was brought up and I was raised to believe once saved, always saved, and I've never turned
yeah.
my back on God. That's what I believe. One of the things I would want to say is, even though that does not really line up with the doctrine and the thinking mm-hmm. of the United Methodist Church, we're not trying to convince you that we're
right.
right and somebody else is wrong. What we're doing is we're just offering this as a way for you to consider
yeah.
what does it really mean for us to be people who are saved by God?
Yes.
What does it mean for us to experience the grace of God in a powerful way that we would respond to God's mm-hmm. love in such a way that we want our lives to be different than they've ever been? And
yeah.
so, again, if you're looking for Christian community, this is a mm-hmm. special time in our country and what we're doing. It is our hope that mm-hmm. someday when we gather back together that we would get to see your faces again. We
yes.
Definitely miss you. We would just long for that day when we can gather together in corporate worship again so we can so we don't burn out. Our flames get
yeah. band
together. In the meantime, again, some of our discipleship groups are having Zoom meetings. Our staff and some of our worship team are offering daily devotions, and we mm-hmm. offer those as things just to help people stay connected digitally, but also to continue to consider different aspects of their faith.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, it's always a joy for us to be able to come into your life over this podcast. Thank you again for listening. It is Holy Week. God bless you. We believe, we confirm, we say without any doubt and with the utmost confidence mm-hmm. that Jesus is risen from the dead. And that
yes.
is the hope of our salvation.
That's right.
No matter what we believe. God bless you. We'll see you again soon. Hey friends, D.A. Bennett, St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church. I want you to know that we are discovering some real blessing and benefit of digital discipleship, but we also want to talk to you about subscribing to our YouTube channel. Again, it's under the church's name, and you'll get some different video devotions each day. So if you're looking for another venue, maybe it'll work for you. God bless.